for a nice introduction. And so first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the data that we are dealing with, which is, in fact, unstructured point-based volume data. So we have a 3D scalar field with, which is represented at sample positions without any connectivity. And the data sets have typically large sizes, so over 1 million sample points. And our application the data comes from is mainly astrophysical particle simulations, but yeah, as you know, there are several other applications where this data occurs. So here we can see such a data set, just in 2D. And from our application, we get data sets with very high varying density in the point distribution. And yeah, here is the data set just color-coded. And if you want to extract an isosurface just directly on this data set, we would possibly end up with a rough isosurface, which is not desired and looks not good. So we decided to use a level set approach to get much smoother isosurfaces and to really control the smoothness, where we dynamically adapt this zero level set to the data set, which means that the level set function that is an auxiliary function introduced is dynamically adapted to the data set. Common approaches in this field would do a resampling over regular or adaptive grids, like one can see here, and then apply the standard level set methods on grids to extract a surface, which typically introduces resampling inaccuracies. And we want to avoid these resampling inaccuracies and directly apply the level set method on just particles. So the main goals of our approach are to avoid these resampling inaccuracies, to operate directly on the unstructured sample points, and have no reconstruction of the scalar field in between. So really just on the particles. Our approach consists of several steps. We introduce this auxiliary level set function on the particles, approximate derivatives by just use of the neighbors of each particle. So there are also no approximations in between or reconstructions. And we want to follow a mean curvature flow in combination with normal advection to the data set to control the smoothness, but also the distance to the real isosurface. And then process the level set function at the sample points until steady state and extract a zero level set as a representation for the desired isosurface. Our level set formulation that we use is just the standard level set thing. So the zero level set should approximate the isosurface very well. So we use the standard normal advection with the speed depending on distance, on the distance of the level set function to the data. The formula can be seen below. And we combine this with mean curvature flow because we want to have the zero level set adjustable smooth. And this means minimizing the mean curvature of the zero level set. And there comes this additional factor into the level set equation. And yeah, so as you can see from this function, from this equation, we need function derivatives at the sample points, which will be approximated by just the use of the nearest neighbors of each particle. For this, we have to store our data in an efficient way in a KD tree to have an easy and fast access. And but yeah, this can be done in a pre-calculation step where we just store the particles in a flexible KD tree and then pre-calculate k nearest neighbors for each point. In the actual level set process step, we need an approximation for the function gradient for the level set function. For this, we use the fact that the gradient of the Levisette function equals to the negative projection to R3 of this four-dimensional vector n phi, which is defined by the two equations seen below. So n phi is perpendicular to the tangent hyperplane to the graph of phi, which represents a submanifold in R4. And the second thing is that the fourth component of this vector n phi equals to 1. Let me just explain how this now goes in a 2D, so in a lower dimension. We want to approximate this vector n phi by a least squares approach on the height field. So if we are here in R2, our particles living in R2, then and observe the particle x, then we have the additional function values phi of x and of all the other particles, and then we can just approximate the tangent hyperplane in this point by a least squares approach, find this vector n phi of x, project it down, and get the gradient of the function phi. This gradient approximation is consistent. That means it converges against the real gradient if the neighbor points converge to the midpoint. It is very easy expressible as an explicit formula, which is too long to show it here, so I won't show it. And it's a generalization of several well-known finite difference schemes, such as forward differencing, backward central, and so on. And so if we just put in a 1D example these 3 points x phi 1, x plus h phi 2, and x minus h phi 0 into this formula, we will just end up with the standard central differencing. For our approach, we use the 26 nearest neighbors for each particle for the gradient calculation, inspired by the regular data case where each particle would have 26 neighbors in maximum distance norm. Additionally, we need to approximate the mean curvature, which can be written as you see below. And you also see that the calculation of the mean curvature is nothing more than just twice gradient calculation for three different functions, namely for the component functions of the normalized gradient. And for this, this is again just a scalar function, so each normalized gradient function. And for this, we can again just use the gradient approximation that I just explained. And so there is nothing more to do, just redo all the steps again. For a good numerical behavior of our level set approach, we have to keep track of the level set function being a signed distance function, because there we really have all the things that we want to have, so convergence and all the stuff. And we can easily start with a chosen signed distance function, but our approach does not maintain the property that the gradient equals, the norm of the gradient of the function equals 1. So a reinitialization is necessary, which is done always if the gradient of the function exceeds some certain threshold, and which is done just again by a Levisette approach following the Eigenaar equation seen below. It's also just a standard approach. For the time integration, we use a very easy forward order time integration for the Levisettes as also for the reinitialization, which allows us for practical convergence analysis, but you could just use any other higher order scheme. Now let's talk a little bit about the stability and convergence of this approach. As you probably all know, the Lex-Richtmeier theorem states that convergence is equal to consistency and stability, And we have already seen that the gradient and the mean curvature calculation is consistent. So we only need stability for theoretically convergence. And we have this CFL condition or CFL theorem that states mainly that the domain of numerical discretization should not exceed the physical domain of dependence of the information from the points used for the approximation. So if we observe this red point and use the blue points for the approximation, we cannot exceed this green triangle with our time integration. So we have a restriction to the delta t that can be used in our time integration. And in our case, the formula for this looks like this. It's a little bit long. The drawback is that the CFL condition is necessary but not sufficient for stability. So it cannot guarantee stability. For this, we can use Fanon stability analysis, which guarantees the stability. And I will just explain it in a 2D example for two neighbors and this very easy Levisette equation. And if we are in 2D now and observe this point and use this other point as the neighbor, then we want to choose a third point as neighbor for the gradient calculation, which then can only lie into this triangle, which you can see. And this mainly also states that the normal upwinding is also a special case of our generalized algorithm. And so the point would lie inside the triangle. In practice, we take 26 neighbors and just use the step that comes from the CFL condition. And everything worked very good, and we never run into any problems with this in terms of the convergence. And no matter what data sets we tried, we also tried to use asynchronous time integration because the global time steps are bounded by the most restrictive CFL condition, which can be, in our case, with a very high varying density in the data, can be very small. And so we are too much restricted in other regions where the CFL condition is very relaxed. So we want to use local time steps, which are only bounded by the local stability condition in each point. And for this, we make use of our simple Euler time integration. We have here a plot of the x direction to the time, and at the beginning all particles are in the same state, so in time, so they all have the same time. But if we now make a step according to the local CFL condition, they would end up in an asynchronous state, so one particle is further in time than the other particles. And to process now the next time step, we introduce such a timeline which processes towards the future and then just linearly interpolate at the particle positions the function value in time and process the particle, and then the timeline goes further to the future. After convergence of this approach, the zero level set is an approximation for the isosurface that we want to have. And this zero level set is then extracted by our direct isosurface extraction approach from just the level set function values, which can be seen here. We have the data set again, and this is the extracted points, which is just a point cloud representation, and then we use a splat-based rendering Then we use a point-based rendering with blood-based ray tracing to generate a nice-looking isosurface. To show some results, I just want to give some timings. For 4 million sample points, we had a time for KD tree generation of 9 seconds and nearest neighbor calculation of 239 seconds. And the Levisette processing heavily depends on the data set, so I will not give any numbers here. So I will just get the average sample per second rate. So for synchronous time integration, we get for the Levisette evolution a timing of 59,000 samples per second and reinitialization of 88,000 samples per second. And for the asynchronous time update, we get for the Levisette evolution 2,000 samples per second and for the reinitialization 46,000 samples per second. To show you some pictures, we have the hydrogen data set resampled at 4 million unstructured sample points and the whole Levisette evolution until steady state lasted 22 minutes. And we also have such astrophysical data like the white dwarf data set with 500,000 particles. And here we want to compare our work with our previous work from the direct isosurface extraction just directly on the data set. And for this I have such a close-up view which nicely shows that here we just render the points with very small splats so that one can see the real point distribution. And we also see that the surface is looking much more smooth on the right image than on the left image, where we have several outliers due to the very high varying density in this data set. To conclude my talk, we present the smooth surface extraction using Levisettes that operates directly on the unstructured sample points. The derivatives are approximated only with the use of the nearest neighbors, and no reconstruction of the scalar field is necessary at other positions. This results in very smooth and good isosurface. I want to thank you for your attention and for your support in free particles.
So we have time for questions.
Everyone is asleep after the break. Robert?
I'll ask a question. So the 26 neighborhood,
yeah.
Most of your data sets, the relative distance between the points is not that far. I realize it's a weighted distance, but have you analyzed that if your sampling distance is more scattered than the two sets you used?
It is very scattered.
Okay.
So it's, wait, let me... It's like in this picture you only see the beginning, so it's very scattered at the end, so that just didn't fit on the screen. So
how well did that? Did you look at anything other than 26 neighborhood?
Yeah. So in increasing the samples that so the nearest neighbors didn't make any change anymore, and decreasing, yeah. Would just make it a little bit worse, but not that much. So we just found that that's a good heuristic to use all the neighbors in the regular data case, right? So
very nice work. Did you you compared to resampling onto a regular grid? Did you consider or compare to? Say triangulating the data first and then taking the isosurface from the tetrahedrals?
Yeah, so that's the only other thing one could do with it, avoiding this resampling inaccuracies. But so on very large data set, it would last very long time. So that's our thing. And we really wanted to have an approach that directly operates on this and without, I don't know, waiting for an hour to just generate a tetrahedralization. So that's, yeah.
So Paul, if you go to your image of the hydrogen atom,
yeah.
Your surface is smooth, but it's not so smooth, and the gradients are actually quite noisy. How can you resolve that?
Yeah, that's not a problem of our approach. It's not a problem of this approach. It's a problem of our rendering approach that we also developed. It's a problem of this plot-based rendering thing, and in fact, the level sets or the zero level set is very smooth, but yeah, you directly see the splats because the resolution is not so good. So that's a problem of the rendering.
Okay. Well, let's thank the speaker.